Hi, and welcome to this week's Three Legs, Four Wheels F1 podcast. It's Paul here with...
Chris.
Dan?
No.
Lee.
Yes. Three-hander this week, unfortunately. Dan is missing in action.
In whatever important work he's doing. I mean, holiday times.
Yeah.
Fun things.
Yeah, definitely on holiday. And Sean couldn't make it today either, so...
A three-hander sounds like a euphemism. I don't like it.
You're stuck with the three of us. Which is probably just as well, because there's not a great deal going on.
No, we hope you all had a lovely Christmas.
Of course. Even Lee might think that for some people.
Some of them.
So, yeah, I hope you had a great Christmas, and, you know, by the time you listen to this, we've had a great New Year celebration as well. Mm-hmm. And if you don't celebrate it, then, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Hope you had a good weekend.
Yeah, pretty much. Extra day off for most of the world.
For most of the world. Yeah, Scotland get 2 days at New Year.
I know they do, yeah. They drink so much, they need 2 days for the hangover.
I was just going to say.
But they don't get Boxing Day.
Oh, do they not?
Apparently not, no.
Well, there you go.
No, it's just called having a scrap day.
Isn't it still called St. Stephen's Day in Scotland? Because everywhere else
in the world... If there isn't a St. Stephen's Day, there should be.
No, there is, and it's the 26th of December. Everywhere else in the world calls it St. Stephen's Day. The UK is the only place that calls it Boxing Day.
Typical UK not wanting to be in step with anything. Anyway, no,
let's not.
No,
no,
no. So no, we won't do that.
Has anybody got any news?
No.
News? Anything?
No.
Formula One related?
I've got a running order.
You've got Williams news, haven't you?
Williams still have no news.
Good Williams news.
They told us they would have news in 2018, and it looks like they're sticking to that.
Right.
This is the 30th of December when we're recording.
It is.
Don't know what day it is you're listening to.
You're listening to a podcast from last year.
It's not.
Hello from the past.
Oh, what
welcome
world.
To the world of tomorrow. We're back on Futurama again.
Yeah, another Futurama reference.
I wonder what the world would be like in 48 hours time.
If previous New Year's or anything to go by, blurry with a sore head.
Right.
Probably. I hate New Year's Eve.
So do I. It's such a countdown to nothing. Yeah.
I don't like hugging people I like, let alone strangers walking up to me and trying to hug me.
This is why I never go out drinking New Year's Eve. I'll go to a party, I'll go see friends, but I will not go to a pub ever again.
I go with Michael Jackson when strangers trying to hug me.
You buy a chimpanzee?
I think you'll find bought a chimpanzee.
bubbles.
Forever blow. Anyway. McLaren.
McLaren?
Yes.
Is that the thing, or is there actually news?
Well, there's it's kind of old. Apparently McLaren could have had Mercedes engines last year.
Ah, yes. I did hear about this. Toto Wolff saying that McLaren...
Do it properly.
He said that McLaren director... I can't do it now. You throw me off guard. McLaren director... what's his name? Mansell OJ?
Yeah.
He approached Dieter Zetsche about getting some engines for 2018. And he said, yeah, fine. Let us know what you want to do. And then McLaren didn't let Mercedes know what they wanted to do. So Mercedes had to turn around and be like, you've left it a bit too late to give us an answer. So we're not going to supply you for next year. And that's when McLaren went looking for Renault.
But wasn't that whole thing seeming a little bit like what they were doing with Red Bull, where they were saying they might supply them, but they probably weren't going to?
There's something in the article as well that says about Mercedes' reluctance to supply Red Bull with engines.
Sorry, that was him with me in Red Bull. I said Renault, didn't I?
No, you said Red Bull.
Did I? Oh,
yeah,
good.
Yeah. They're reluctant to supply Red Bull with engines because of Red Bull's attitude towards their engine suppliers in the past.
Yeah, I think their reluctance to supply Red Bull with engines is their reluctance to supply Adrian Newey with a competitive engine for his car.
That's probably the truth.
I got his book for Christmas. I'm looking forward to having the time to start reading that.
Yeah.
If anyone's read it, no spoilers.
Yeah, no, don't tweet us any spoilers.
Spoilers, he wins loads of championships for people.
Holy! this is another in the series of what could have been for McLaren.
I don't think it was a thing. I think it might just be, it's just off-season fucking banter that was probably a half comment by somebody.
Yeah. They said to Mercedes, do you want to supply us engines? You know how we had that 25-year relationship where you supplied us engines, yeah, then we left. We might have made a mistake. Can we come back?
Yeah.
Mercedes went, well, yeah, but let us know because we need to sort stuff out for another customer team for next year. We really need the wheels going now.
I'd be interested to know if there was any meat behind Eddie Jordan's Mercedes might pull out of Formula One. And I wonder if that was what it was. You know, like a tentative, we might supply McLaren again if Mercedes works team fucks off. Because they would want a de facto works team.
Yeah, which McLaren obviously have been in the past.
Yeah.
It could be. I mean, Eddie Jordan, for as much as he gets slated on this show,
he's often right.
I was going to say he's got a habit of being right.
Yeah. No, everyone thought he was a fucking idiot when he said Lewis was going to go to Mercedes.
Yeah, and he said that, was it before Singapore 2012? When was apparently the time of the talks where he retired at his McLaren at Singapore.
Mm.
Longingly looked back at it, and Niki Lauda saw an opportunity, went, right, now's the time. Swooped in and said to Lewis, you know, you come drive for us. We got some pretty big plans.
Again, do it properly.
No. No, Niki Lauda impressions, I have to wait till the new year now. And
until I've got a blowtorch.
You're no fun anymore, you get worse.
Well, I'm just thinking, is Niki Lauda based on Joe Pesci's character from Home Alone? joking. But
as it has been called over this Christmas, Die Hard with a Child.
Yes. Yeah. The Die Hard in a House Alone.
Yeah.
But the yeah, sorry, I've lost my train of thought completely.
Niki Lauda, Mercedes, Lewis, 2012.
Yeah, he said that Lewis should probably come and drive for us, but me and Eddie Jordan had that, I think, about 2 or 3 weeks beforehand. Mm. He said, mark my words, Lewis Hamilton will be driving for Mercedes next year. Mm-hmm. And everyone was like, well, that would be a stupid move. And at first, everyone went, that seems kind of silly.
Yeah, but he finished the sentence with, now where's me pot of gold? Yeah.
You'll never find me at the end of the rainbow. There you go, I've done an Eddie Jordan impression.
Closer to Father Jack, but we'll let that slide.
Yeah.
What else have we got? Oh, Honda. Well, we're on McLaren.
This is worrying news for Toro Rosso. Honda.
I think Toro Rosso Honda is worrying news for Toro Rosso.
Because Honda are going to turn up to the first race, regardless of what happens with their 2018 spec engine. They're going to turn up with their 2017 spec engine and say, you know what, if that doesn't work, we know this one works. Oh. It was in the back of a McLaren at the end of last year.
Rejoice!
But for the last couple of races, the Honda engine actually wasn't all that crap.
It scored points.
Fernando Alonso scored points.
In the last three races of the season.
So it proved that the engine could work, whether it's reliable enough or not.
But didn't we go to cracks where it kind of, I mean, saying that, there is a massive fucking straight in Abu Dhabi, isn't there?
Yeah.
But there's some lots of twists and turns to it, whereas Australia is a fucking engine-hungry circuit, isn't it?
Yes.
There's a group, actually, of this is not on the running order, but there's a group of fans who are calling for the Abu Dhabi circuit to be remodelled.
There's a group of drivers calling like for it to be remodelled.
I'd remodel it with a fucking nuclear bomb.
I like parts of it, I do, but it needs to be made better for overtaking.
But do you know what the thing is? Like, how can, when, look at Austin, they fucking nailed it with Austin.
Oh yeah, completely.
But when there's like a proper
facility built.
It's a fucking desert. There was literally all a desert's worth of room to use. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they turn around and say, right, build a racetrack there and we'll build a city around it. And they're like, okay, because they're still building the city, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Yes, they are.
Oh, good Lord.
Oh, dear.
No.
They're not real people that live there, though. It's just a plastic population.
Oh, come on. That's even worse.
Oh. Is that a moment's silence for that joke dying on its arse?
I think Lee's about to burst into tears, people.
I actually hurt. Of course, if you want to listen to real comedy, then come and listen to the Must See Audio podcast.
Shameless plug.
Every other week.
And they will give you a list of real comedy podcasts to listen to.
Yes. But, so wait, well, how come you give somebody all the fucking stuff in the world to build a track on, and they built... Is it the worst track on the calendar?
I don't think it's the worst track on the calendar. I don't like the Russian circuit.
I was gonna say Sochi is pretty...
I think, yeah, Sochi's bad, but I still think Abu Dhabi might be worse. I think the only... See, if you took all the tinsel off Abu Dhabi,
yeah,
like the tunnel and the big hotel and stuff like, yeah, that, and the fireworks at the end, and it was just a race circuit in the middle of a town in fucking Italy, we would not be impressed with that being on the calendar.
Probably not. Although, having said that, I'd love to see Imola back on the Formula 1.
I'd love to see Imola. I prefer Imola to Monza, but that's just me.
I don't know if I want to see Monza go, though. That's the problem.
But Monza's a boring race, generally.
Yeah, but the thing is with Monza, it's pure racing. It's whoever's got the fastest car wins.
Is that pure racing? Whoever's got the fastest engine wins? All right, Bernie.
Yeah, but surely that's the idea of racing.
Is it? I'd have thought whichever pedaler had the most talent would be the right
idea.
Now
we're back into the argument of what is Formula One.
Yeah.
Yeah. Should it be all identical and down to the drivers? In which case all the manufacturers would sod off and there'd be no sponsorship or money in the
sport. I'm coming round to your Formula One plan. To be fair, honest, yeah, where it's
leave it open.
Yeah, at the beginning of this, do what you want, but from the first race at the beginning of the season, and then every race subsequently, if you bring a new part, you need to bring the blueprints for it.
Well, yeah, that's it. And that for listeners who haven't heard my plan for Formula One before, everything is so secretive in plans of design and things like that, and you know, everything is pushed to the limit. But if you had relatively standardized engine parts, not all standardized, because then that will make it a little bit too similar, but then you just had like a box that your Formula One car had to fit within, you know, a height, a width, and a length, and then whatever you did from that, you just made the fastest car you could.
But
nothing was secretive. Nothing was like, well, how have they done that, what's under that part of the car. If it was all open for public viewing as well as pit lane viewing, then you'd see a lot closer racing eventually. Based on, you know, obviously you had to budget cap it at some point as well.
I think the fact that if you turn up with a new, depending what if you're in the summer break or things like that, I think you might see people strategically deploying updates. Like, I don't think there'd be any point in any team bringing an update before the summer break.
Yeah, but I mean, if they're bolting it to the car, they need to show everybody
done. But what you'd find is, if you have like three back-to-back races, all the teams would bring their new parts because they know the other teams wouldn't have time to copy the parts over the next three races.
Yeah.
So they would genuinely get the benefit. Yeah,
they'd be strategic.
But that itself is interesting.
Yeah, it is, yeah. It's, you know, well, Ferrari have brought this part, which is going to make them faster than Mercedes for the next three races. But what can Mercedes do after that to... You know, development race is part of Formula One.
Yeah.
And it might not be as exciting as what happens on the track, but it's still part of the sport.
Well, like, proper crazy. Is that there will be a point in the future where in one of those big, big trucks that the teams bring along, fabrication will become that easy that they'll have 3D printers in the back of it.
They will
be 3D printing the components they need.
I believe
at the circuit,
Red Bull have already done it.
Have they?
I believe Red Bull sourced a 3D printer at one of the flyaway races a couple of years ago to print a piece of plastic that they needed to.
But I mean, front wing assemblies and stuff.
Possibly. But I mean, they
print. Can you 3D print carbon fibre? That is actually a serious one, because I thought.
I don't think you can. But this is what I mean. I mean, and even it could even be the point of the because of 3D printing, whatever the next compound which we're making Formula One parts of,
right?
Yeah, you know, it's whatever. Yeah.
Which could be plastic or a plastic.
It could be. Yeah. I tell you what, that would have been a time for Maldonado to shine, wouldn't it?
Plastic parts.
Plastic parts. Parts that can be 3D printed while he's on his way back to the garage.
You're watching Maldonado Racing, sponsored by all of the 3D printers in the world.
I like the idea of someone saying, Maldonado's broke his front wing. I've just finished printing new ones. Yeah, just keep the machine going. Just keep it. Yeah. Keep
production that line.
We'll use them somewhere, lad.
You know, I've got a 3D printer.
Have you?
Yeah.
Is that one of the ones you build yourself?
Yeah. Well, when I say I've got a 3D printer and it's one of the ones that you build yourself,
yeah.
I've got all the parts to build a 3D printer that have been sat in my spare room for the last 18 months.
I'm tempted to buy a 3D printer just because they're fucking cool. But realistically, how many paperweights do you need?
Apparently, a good thing that you can print on them is curtain hooks.
Yeah.
Because they're so hard to get hold of and they're so expensive.
Yes. I don't sell those at all.
Right, let's buy 3D printers and put him out of business.
Jesus. Well, it's not me, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm just trying to work out when I'm actually going to have time to build the damn thing. Yeah. And then that's the first question. The second question is, what the hell am I going to do with it when I've got it?
You're going to buy... Do you have to clean them?
I imagine so, because the like nozzles with wet hot plastic coming through.
Yeah.
That sounds like something on your Netflix watch list.
Wet hot plastic.
Yeah.
Sounds like an album by Bon Jovi.
I did enjoy the documentary Hot Girls Waiting.
What were they waiting for?
It was a documentary about cam girls. Fascinating.
Oh, okay.
Carry on.
I don't know where to go after that.
Back to the running order.
Incognito browser if I was you.
I always purge my browser history after coming round here just in case your router's infected.
Just quickly, not Formula One, like the last 10 minutes haven't been. But you know, if you use your incognito browser enough, I haven't seen this, to be perfectly honest. But there's an Easter egg in Chrome where if you use the incognito browser enough, when you put it on, that time when the clock ticks over, the little man in this corner of the screen winks at you.
Oh no, I didn't know that.
I only found out about the dinosaur game in Chrome the other week.
Hmm?
You don't know the dinosaur game?
Don't know the dinosaur game.
You know when you get the when you lose your connection,
yeah,
and you get the dinosaur on screen? If you press the space bar, the dinosaur starts running, you press space and you make it jump over all these rocks and bushes that keep
fucking
coming at you.
Fabulous.
Until your connection comes back.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Like
that. Yeah, so it gives you something to do while you haven't got the internet.
Yeah, fucking love stuff like that.
Talking of something to do,
I do have the bare bones of a running order in here. The French Grand Prix.
Oui.
It returns, doesn't it?
It does.
At Le Castellet, which would be a good one for us to try and get to, I think, possibly.
Yes, because it's not as in the middle of nowhere as...
I thought it was more in the middle of nowhere.
Or is it more in the middle of nowhere?
Yeah.
Than Manico.
I think it's more in the middle of nowhere, but a better circuit. At least that's what most people think.
There's
a certain Instagram deleted Lewis Hamilton who doesn't think that...
Can I say, where did Lewis say this? Because he's deleted his entire Instagram history today, or has he been hacked?
Yes, exactly. His opinions on the French Grand Prix are that they've taken it to the wrong circuit. And he backtracked a little bit when he said this by saying, well, when I say I don't like this circuit, because, of course, he did a tyre test on it at some point during 2017. When I say I don't like the circuit, what I mean is I think Magny-Cours is better. And
yeah.
You know, we've also got Le Mans in France as well, which we should probably look at using.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about it, France used to be like a real...
hotbed of motor racing?
Yeah.
It's not like they haven't got a driver either.
No. They've got... There's a few... you know, drivers that France could get behind. You know, I know Charles Leclerc's not French. Note that the FIA. Please stop playing the French national anthem when he's on top of the podium.
He sounds French, though, and that's all that really matters.
Yeah, he spends a lot of time in Italy as well, according to his Instagram, which hasn't been deleted. But... Yeah, I mean, if you look at races like, we've had two Grand Prix in the past, haven't we, in Spain? Like, the European Grand Prix at Valencia or at Jerez.
Mm-hmm.
And in Germany, we've had the European Grand Prix at...
at Nürburgring and the German Grand Prix at Hockenheim.
Yeah, exactly. We've had it in the UK once. European GP was at Donington. It's strange to think that we could have two races in one country, San Marino Grand Prix in Italy as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's strange to think that we could... have two races in one country and yet not have the French Grand Prix on the calendar for the last 10 years. when you think of France's motor racing history and how they were so embedded in the early history of Formula One.
Yeah, and it's not like Renault haven't been, you know, apart from the spell where they left Formula One before they came back. But since they've been back, they've been like a massive part in Formula One. You know, a world championship winning works team, multiple world champions with the lump in the back of a Red Bull.
Yeah, well, they were, you know, in the Williamses, weren't they, in the 90s before
they dropped off and yeah. We had the horror that was Mechachrome.
Playlife, yeah, etc.
Well, let's not forget...
Playlife was a roller skate company, wasn't it?
Yes.
Mm. Let's not forget that we also had Williams-Renault again, and just like McLaren Honda, it took right back to the glory years.
Yeah, yeah. Not only did they have a Williams-Renault, they had Senna in a Williams-Renault.
Yeah.
Oh, no, sorry, I didn't go well the first time.
I apologise.
Bless you.
I regret nothing.
You actually clipped with that sneeze. That was impressive.
Apologies, listeners.
Considering you were that far away from the microphone, I actually got a clip alert on your sneeze.
Oh.
So, yeah, I mean, what do we think? Do we need to listen to a world champion's opinions when he starts saying that it's at the wrong circuit, or he personally doesn't like it, or is it just somebody who's just mouthing off and someone's paid to attention to it because it's
see if Lewis he wins Hamilton. The next six he'll like it
if he wins there he might like
yeah,
it got the best got the best fans there haven't
I was, I was just about to say we'll see how good the fans are.
It's just one of those things.
I mean, I've looked at the layout of the circuit and it does look a little bit odd. It's kind of like a slightly stretched out oblong. So somebody's like gone, well, this is a start point, that's the finish point, and we'll just push a few corners in here and there and a hairpin there, that'll do.
I mean, don't forget, it's been over the last few years it's kind of been reconfigured as a test track since Bernie Eccleston bought it.
Yeah.
And it's used to test out various corner configurations and even tarmac types.
Yeah.
And even kinds of tarmac to use on runoffs.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's gonna look like it's been thrown together piecemeal because well it has.
Please show me the stat that says that Romain Grosjean tested the runoffs.
The and Maldonado tested the barriers.
Yeah,
but
they're safe.
The only thing I would say is about the Paul Ricard circuit. Because it is a test track, there's so many different configurations to that track.
Oh, yeah, there's the club circuit, yeah. There's the long circuit, the short circuit. I think they're looking at using the long, full-on long circuit,
aren't
they?
It's the long 5.8 kilometres.
Yeah, so it's going to be a good 1:40 lap.
It means absolutely nothing, but I've always enjoyed the Paul Ricard circuit when I played it on Forza.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've always thought it was a good, fun circuit to play.
As you say, test track, then it's kind of had, you know, lots of different changes made to it. I think Eccleston took it over just after it stopped being a Formula One Grand Prix circuit.
Mm.
Because it was deemed, strangely enough, it was deemed unsafe for Formula One, I think, at the time. So they made some changes to it, and, you know, here we are. Some 28 years after its last race.
Yeah, the last French Grand Prix there was 1990.
Yeah, so we all got quite used to Magny-Cours, and then that sort of vanished off the calendar. It just seems strange to me that there was no Grand Prix in France. And I personally think about Lewis Hamilton's opinion that he should just shush a little bit. Because there's a Grand Prix in France. That's the important thing here.
Yeah.
France being one of the hotbeds of motorsport where... You know, one of the early birthplaces of motorsport, really.
Pretty much, yeah.
The French were racing. They even had an official racing colour back in the days when if depending on what country you were from, you had a colour. French would race under dark blue.
Yeah.
You know, the Germans would always be silver.
Which is why the Ligiers were always as blue as they could be.
Yeah, yeah. The Germans were always silver. British were always green. Italians were red. And I think Americans were black.
Could be.
I think that's how it worked.
It's too much of an open goal. I'm not even making a joke.
And the Japanese were white. I think the Japanese, eventually, when they came in, were white.
Steam coming out of his ears, I swear. Yeah, I'm with you on this. It's just going to be good to see a race back in France. I'd like to get there one of these days.
Yeah, it'd be good.
Could they race? Could you race F1 cars at Le Mans? You'd have to use the short circuit, the Bugatti one.
Well, isn't the long circuit something like a 6 minute lap?
It would. The long circuit would be too long.
Yeah, we're long talking like Nürburgring Nordschleife territory with
but
the long
can't
circuit.
Can't you?
Not quite that long, but
isn't there a configuration of that track though where you only use one of the two straights?
Yeah, because the straights are like what, like a mile long, something like that.
But it'd be I'm sure there's a setup of that circuit where you can just use one of the straights and then come back round.
Much like Paul Ricard.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
There's many configurations of the circuit because
With Circuit de la Sarthe, no, there isn't. There's the full circuit and there's the Bugatti circuit, which uses the Dunlop curve, gets as far as the S's, and then goes into the goes into the infield, because it's all public roads.
Yeah.
So half the, you know, there are roads running across the middle of it.
Bugatti circuit would be too short, wouldn't it?
Really and truthfully, yes. I think the Bugatti circuit is
also it's very narrow, if I remember rightly. Bugatti circuit.
It's 2.5 miles. And it's mainly set up for bikes these days.
What's Formula One circuit? Like a normal circuit's about 4.5, is it?
About 4 miles.
About four to four and a half.
3.5 to 4 miles,
yeah.
I think.
The thing is, it's not like.
We still work in miles, not kilometres.
Yeah. I mean, the. It's not a struggling circuit, and you've got to think that it would be a big prize for them to get Formula One. So I wonder if they'd be willing to adjust it or add to the circuit to get a race?
Possibly. I've just found this out. They have had a Grand Prix there before, the 67 French Grand Prix.
Mm-hmm.
At Le Mans on the Bugatti circuit.
Yeah. All right.
But they only used it the once.
Mm.
Yeah, also, if I remember rightly, where the Bugatti circuit comes back round to rejoin the start-finish bit, it's very, very narrow.
Yeah.
It's like the complex, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
But I don't think it's not a massive part of the circuit where it all gets very narrow. It might be quite interesting watching the cars fly through there.
I haven't said that. You know, look at the castle section at Azerbaijan.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's... Yeah,
there's not room for two cars side by side there.
Yeah, that's about as narrow as a...
Julian Palmer.
Yeah.
That's about as narrow as a Formula E circuit is all the way around.
It's all right. There's no room for a Palmer this year either.
No, there isn't. Unless Will does very well.
On any corner.
That Will does very well and ends up coming up through the formulas, but he's in Formula Renault at the moment, so...
Mm.
Is there any news on Julian Palmer? Has he turned up in another series yet? Or?
No, he was busy watching Crystal Palace over Christmas.
Why the hell would anyone want to do that?
Clearly a Crystal Palace fan.
Fuck.
That burnt down as well. The original Crystal Palace burnt down.
I know, that was quite good.
I
approve.
That, would you believe, is about it for all the news that we've got at the minute. Actually, you probably would believe it, because, hell, it's the end of December and there's...
Well, the thing is, the factories are in shutdown. Yeah. And they've been in shutdown since we did our last podcast.
Yeah.
So no one's doing it. Any work that's happening now is being done by phone to people. When we come back, can you remind me about this? Or, you know, it's all being done through emails. We don't know anything about what's going on. There's no secret meetings taking place.
Unless you're Honda, where your engineers are working around the Honda Warren, like, with their eyes sort of shut because they haven't seen the sunlight for 4 years and everything's still on the dyno for 24 hours and they still can't understand why it's still blowing up.
But Williams...
don't forget Honda in the process of acclimatising a new head of Formula One into the system. So right now he'll be in the chamber having his energy sapped.
Yeah. I imagine Honda right now is like the... you know where you first see the orcs coming up in Lord of the Rings? You know, down in Mordor?
Mm.
Right down the bottom there. That's what it's like.
No, that's the cue for the next head of Formula One development.
Really?
No, we were talking on the Patreon podcast about Slurms McKenzie.
Yes.
I actually managed to shoehorn two Futurama references into this one show and three in total.
Exactly.
That's not bad going. You have an end of year quiz for us, don't you, Chris?
I do. I prepared an end of year quiz because...
Is it Formula One? So screwed.
Yeah. So end of year Formula One. I did this last year. Yeah. I think we did it early January because we had the Nico Rosberg news, the Valtteri Bottas thing sort of ongoing. So I think the quiz last year came early January. So
by the time things had settled down.
By the time you're all listening to this, it will be early January. But play along at home. I ask some questions.
What if you're not? What if you're not at home? What if you're on the bus?
Play along on the bus, in your head. You don't
no, shout it out. If they don't shout it out, we won't hear the answers.
Play along wherever you're listening. It doesn't matter. So, question. It's similar to last year's quiz.
What, in that you ask questions and we try and give answers?
Yeah. Some of them are easy, some of them less so. Lewis Hamilton is 2017 champion. Sebastian Vettel finished second, with Bottas finishing third in the championship. But which driver finished third more than any other in 2017?
I think that was Danny Ric, wasn't it? Because
Kimi didn't have a stellar year, did he?
Kimi didn't have as many podiums as you'd think.
And
Danny Ric was on the podium a hell of a lot.
He wasn't. Yeah, and he had a really good run of podiums, didn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, Danny Ric.
It's correct answer with 7 third place finishes.
Wow.
We did a
win.
Ding! Question 2. Antonio Giovinazzi, Jenson Button, Paul de Rester, Pierre Gasly and Brendan Hartley were the four drivers who came in to replace others. But which of them had the best result?
Technically not true. Because Danny Kvyat was also a replacement driver.
Technically speaking.
Because he replaced Carlos
Sainz. Can you read me the drivers again?
Giovinazzi, Button, de Rester, Gasly and Hartley. Four drivers who came in to replace others.
Right. Not de Rester or Button.
I think it was Giovinazzi because he got 12th in Australia.
And Gasly and Hartley haven't had a good run, have they, since Toro Rosso? Yeah, I'll go with that.
Yeah, although technically, as I say, it would be Danny Kvyat for that point. But on your list of replacement drivers, which is different to the real technical list of replacement drivers.
No, he's not a replacement driver. you could have had Giovinazzi. You could have had Giovinazzi or Pierre Gasly.
Best replacement driver is Carlos Sainz.
Giovinazzi and Gasly both managed 12th place at some point during the season.
So it was a tricky question.
Giovinazzi in Melbourne and Gasly in...
Oh, a tiebreaker. Where did they qualify?
I don't know. No idea. Which driver...
One of them was in a Sauber.
Right, okay.
Question 3. Which driver had the most consecutive points finishes in 2017?
Which driver?
Yes.
Ocon.
No.
Lewis Hamilton?
Yes. Score points in every single race.
Yeah.
No retirements, and his worst finish was 9th in Mexico.
Wow.
He still got points. Fuck. Won the world championship there, actually, didn't he? Finished 9th and then got to do donuts.
Yeah, and got interviewed, but not on the podium because that was too busy being number one.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, that was a number one podium.
Let's rotate the board.
Yeah, and turned around and Kimi Räikkönen looked unimpressed, swigged his champagne and walked off.
I still haven't looked at his Instagram yet.
It's a video of him saying,
I don't know what I'm doing. But let's see if you want to follow me on Instagram.
Do you know what?
Instantly got like thousands of followers.
Do you know what the funny thing is? Like, people go, oh, Kimi, he's so self-aware.
He's
almost a comedy genius.
Yeah, he knows. He knows what's going on.
Yeah.
Question 4. Which two drivers share the Esteban Gutierrez Award for the most 11th place finishes in 2017?
Ed Forsyth.
There's two drivers that share the award.
Lee, put that internet down.
No, I was getting a touch shut up.
11 multiple 11th place finishes. I think Palmer got a couple, didn't he?
Yeah, we had a lot of retirements.
But there was nobody consistently Gutierrez in it.
There wasn't, no, because I think last year was it Esteban Gutierrez, 2016. Gutierrez had 5 or 6, was it?
Yeah.
This year it's only 3, but there's two drivers tied with 3 11th
Hulkenberg.
Place finishes.
Palmer and Hulk?
Yeah.
A Renault doubleheader? You got one of them, Julian Palmer. The other one, Lance Stroll.
Oh.
3 11th place finishes. And apparently he thinks he's answered his critics because he got 40 points in his first season.
What, because he happened to be involved in the one race that we will commonly refer to as wacky races?
Yes, I think so, yeah. Okay, question 5. There were 7 different drivers to win the fastest laps in 2017. Hamilton and Bottas, Vettel and Raikkonen, Ricciardo and Verstappen in the top three teams.
Mm-hmm.
Name the other two drivers to set fastest laps.
Kimi Raikkonen.
Did you say Kimi Raikkonen? Yeah. So no Ferrari drivers, no Mercedes drivers, or Red Bull. The top three top six drivers.
Fernando Alonso.
Yes, in Hungary.
Everybody wanted it in Australia because there was that sort of 10-minute period towards the end where everyone was radioing in going, what's the fastest lap?
Mm.
Possibly Massa?
I was thinking Massa.
Sergio Perez.
Where?
In Monaco.
Oh.
Ah.
Perez took the fastest lap at the Monaco Grand Prix.
Wow.
Without crashing. Which, as we know, Perez's history in Monaco is
not
rare.
Good. Not good history.
The fastest lap at the slowest circuit.
Yeah.
Yes. Question six. The Azerbaijan GP took place in Baku, but how many official retirements were there?
Kimi retired twice.
Six.
I want to say eight. I'm sure there was only 12 finishers.
I don't know.
Should I split the difference and say seven?
Well, no, because then we're both wrong.
should have listened to Lee. It would be six. Yeah, Palmer, Kvyat, Verstappen, Hülkenberg, Massa and Perez were the official retirements. Raikkonen stopped again with three laps to go, but was still classified 14th.
Yeah.
So you add Kimi's two retirements into that and we were both right.
The cars were wider this year, but what is the limit of the overall width according to the technical regulations?
Oh, God. 17 something?
Is it 1.7 metres? 1,700
millimetres.
Yeah. No, it went up from 1,800 to 2,000. Oh, 2 metres now, the cars are overall width. Oh, well, that's the limit anyway.
Well, F1 2K.
F1 2K.
No, they lost the licence to EA Sports, and then Codemasters took it over.
First anyway. Of all, 2K never had Formula One as a license.
Anyway.
Second of all, move on.
Red Bull won three races in 2017, which is actually one more than they managed in 2016. Which races did they win?
Repeat the question.
Red Bull won three races in 2017. Which races did they win?
Hungary? No, Hamilton won Hungary.
So...
Someone is fucking screaming.
Yep.
I can think of one particular Red Bull fan, female, yeah. who might be shouting at this podcast right now.
Yep, Jeff Sharp.
So it was the two races where Kvyat wasn't there.
And they were?
The ones that Verstappen won.
Monaco. Who won Monaco? Did Ricciardo win Monaco? No. Did Verstappen? No. Not Monaco.
Not Monaco, Lee.
Not Monaco.
No. You already talked about the wacky races race.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, Azerbaijan.
That was Danny Ric's only win of the year. The other two were Max Verstappen's.
Verstappen's two. One would have been... Mexico?
Ding! And the other?
Was... speaking as slow as possible.
Who won US? I don't know. I'm just trying to think of circuits where I expect the
Max didn't win the US because he got.
Did Daniel Ricciardo win a race?
He won. He only won the Azerbaijan.
He won in Baku. Right, and Verstappen won in Mexico and
Monaco. No, Montreal.
No,
Magyar.
No.
Go on. Go.
Malaysia.
Oh,
of course. Come on.
It was early in the morning. I wasn't paying much attention.
I don't like being the quizzy. I like being the quizzer.
The hat, you get to do that in a bit with Total Shunt. So you get to get us
Welcome
back.
Welcome to Three Legs, Four Quizzes.
The hat trick of win, fastest lap and pole was only won by two drivers over five races in 2017. Name them.
Lewis and Vettel.
Bottas, maybe?
Oh, yeah, he did, didn't he? Yeah. Lewis and Bottas?
Yeah.
Correct, both of them. Bottas only managed it in Abu Dhabi, the last race of the season.
Yeah.
When Lewis had switched off.
Pretty much. Both Ferrari drivers are responsible for the team's highest finish of the year. Nope, ignore that question.
What position did they finish in?
Ignore that question. I think I've accidentally done the thing of not erasing a question and skipping one. So there's one last question to worry about. Here's a good question to get the old brain going. There's another Max Verstappen question. What was Max Verstappen's worst finishing position of the year? So when he finished a race, what was his worst finish?
Was it 12th?
Yeah. It was something outside the points.
Yeah.
No, every finish he had was inside the points.
Was it?
Really?
10th was his worst finish. He had 7 retirements.
Oh, fuck. Tell you what, the fact that Ricciardo's put ahead of him in the championship, that puts fucking it in perspective a bit,
yes,
doesn't
it? Yes, it does.
Wow.
Kevin Magnussen's best result of 2016 was 7th. What was his best finish in 2017?
Ninth.
Because I'm sure he's had more than one point in his points finishes, but I can't see him being higher than ninth.
I think he matched it with a 7th.
Correct.
7th.
7th. He has not improved over the course of 1 year.
Which is worrying because the car did.
I'll ignore that next question.
And so did the quality of teammate.
The Haas F1 team finished the year with 47 points, 18 more than they scored in 2016. Did they improve their placing in the final standings?
No, they didn't.
Correct. They finished 8th both years in a row.
Wow.
The final points total of Felipe Massa was 43, placing him the 11th in the driver standings. Is this more or less points than he scored the first time he retired in 2016?
Less.
Correct. He scored 53 points in 2016. 10 points less. Should have retired the first time.
Yep.
Slightly more glory.
Go away, retirement boy.
Yeah, absolutely. A mini total shunt.
I still think he might have another go with it.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
Might be back. Guess who's back?
Yeah.
No, we used that one last year when he came back.
I am the only American-born driver to win the world championship. I won the title in a Ferrari at Monza with just 34 points. Who am I?
Phil Hill.
Correct. Wow. You go straight in there. You better hope that's not your total shunt next.
No.
Nicola Larini went 44 races before he scored his first points whilst driving a Ferrari. At what race did he break his duck?
Oh, God.
This is all before me.
I want to say you're looking for the year or just the circuit.
Oh, either. I'll take.
I want to say Belgium. So I will. Belgium.
No, 94 San Marino Grand Prix. Ooh. His first points where he finished second behind Michael Schumacher, I think, or third. Anyway, that was his first race that he got points after being racing for like 5-6 years. Pirelli are the current sole tyre suppliers, but which tyre manufacturer has the most world championships?
I think it's Goodyear.
It is Goodyear with 23. Pirelli are second with 16.
Because that's been in a total shunt before.
I can't remember.
Has it?
I can't remember it.
Goodyear tyres where I have 23 world championships or something.
They've had many good years.
They have had many good years, you're quite right. The French Grand Prix at Le Castellet returned in
2018. Some years were harder than each other.
This is the final question. The French Grand Prix at Le Castellet returns in 2018. Who currently holds the record for the most Formula One victories there?
Which team?
No, which driver?
Which circuit?
Le Castellet, the circuit Paul Ricard.
No idea.
Who holds the who currently holds the record for the most F1 victories?
They used to alternate it with Manny Coe, didn't they? Back in the 80s. I am still going to say Prost.
correct, 4 race wins at Le Castellet. And it actually holds, it's got one of those weird sort of hoodoos where if you win at Le Castellet, you've got a good chance of becoming world champion.
Oh, wow.
I think it was only twice or three times, I think, that it's held the race in 16 times that hasn't happened.
Mm.
Whoever wins at Le Castellet goes on to win the world championship. Ronnie Peterson being, I think, the driver who won there twice and then didn't go on to win a world championship. And somebody else, I can't remember who the other driver was.
Well, that's going to be one to watch out for next year, then.
It will be.
Mm. So we'll probably bet on it and get it wrong, because we're good at doing that.
Yeah.
Bet responsibly.
Mm.
When the fun stops.
Stop.
Go home.
Or, like, get what you've got and then do more to try and make up what you've lost.
No, that's the opposite of the message that they're giving you on all these adverts.
Should we leave Total Shunt this week in case people are quizzed out? That's a lot
are
of quizzing.
Are quizzed out?
I think people are quizzed out. I feel quizzed out.
Do you feel quizzed out? Do you just go straight into Formula
E? Yeah, don't forget, it's me that's on the will be on the receiving end of 2 quizzes here.
Correct.
I think I may get quizzed out. We will do Formula E. The second race of the Winter Series was Canada in the wet in the 1998 McLaren.
And I forgot to have another go.
And Lee didn't have a go either.
No, I thought we were doing the cut-off today.
No, we were
wrong.
Doing the cut-off on Wednesday.
Well, it just shows I should listen to you once in a while.
So obviously out of the 4 of us, only 2 of us in the room
competed
and I won.
Fair enough, sorry,
what was that?
I got points again. I'm liking these new 20 points.
Stuff.
I like the car. I tell you what though, even if I
hated the track limits,
even
track
if
limits
I had another go
ass.
I don't think I'd have beat you because you were fucking rapid this weekend.
I was quite happy. I mean,
that's got to be your best performance on a Formula E.
Let's have a look. What did I do? I've only scored points twice. And I'm gradually creeping up the.
Are you using the wheel now?
No, that was with the pads. Last race I was 18th. This one I was 16th.
Yeah,
in eight races time I might win.
But like you were within 2 seconds from the top, weren't you?
Second and a half.
Yeah.
That's good performance, that Paul.
Yeah.
It was 127.6 to get into the points. I got a 127.536, which I was incredibly chuffed with.
Now, a midway point leader was Ed Forsyth.
Ed Forsyth was actually leading at one point, which I sent him a screen grab of the spreadsheet I've got with the times on, which I think he's now had both framed and put on a T-shirt.
So is there a chance that Ed Forsyth won?
He's Ed Force 7th.
Oh, Ed Force 7th. Tell you what, good performance there, Ed. Well done.
If you're gonna get points, that's the way to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And remember, everyone who gets in the points is in the draw for the
Nico Rosberg 2016 helmet.
Yeah, absolutely.
Full list of point scorers are available on the website. As we got complaints about not reading, only doing the top 3 last time, I will give the top 10, but I'm not going to give all the times. 10th place we had Max Williams.
Be faster.
Sounds like a good name, that, doesn't it?
What?
Max Williams. That's like a good fast name.
Do you know, it's Max Williams. It sounds like a Nickelodeon name, doesn't it?
Max Williams,
yeah.
Race driver.
Like Alex Mack. Yeah, he'd be.
Oh, yeah, that's what you mean.
He might be an alien or something like that.
But he's really good at being fast.
Yeah, yeah.
Or like Dexter's Slaboratory. Am I missing the point?
Yeah, a little bit.
Completely.
Oh, dear.
In 8th and 9th place, we have what I've christened the Zach Zone.
Go on, Zach.
Zach Henderson in 9th and Zach Vassen, I don't know how you pronounce it because he didn't tell me, in 8th. Ed Forsyth, as we've already mentioned, in 7th. Pete Bull down in 6th.
Wow.
More surprises, Jeff Sharp 5th.
Oh, wow.
Sorry. Jeff, I've just bought a NASCAR game and I'm really enjoying it, Sharp.
Carry on, Jeff.
He says he might actually marry his cousin. He's into it that much.
Amazing.
Does his wife know?
He brought it up at a family reunion. She was there twice.
I fucking loved the Newman Haas game on the PlayStation 1.
96, was it?
I can't remember.
Early PlayStation, though.
Yeah, it might have even been before the 90s. No,
I was going to say, you got a PlayStation 96. Game before the 90s.
Might have been before 96.
They were called Mega Drives then.
Yeah, it was a fucking fabulous game.
Where are we? Top 4. Chris Rowden, 4th place. Third, definitely sounds like a racing driver, Ayrton Antonucci.
Ayrton Antonucci, that's a great name.
Yeah, but it kind of sounds like two different racing drivers. You can't have an Ayrton and an Antonucci. It'd be like Antonio, like Ayrton Senna or Lucas Antonucci.
That's why he sounds like a racing driver.
No, but it's like two different racing drivers. He's over racing driver. You know where someone turns around to you and says, "Oh, what's your name?" "Oh, it's John Smith." And you say, "No, it's fucking not. No one's actually called John Smith." I also know a John Smith. I know people can be called it, but it sounds like he's made it up. So yeah. that means you question his racing credentials.
Anyway,
He finished third.
Oh, well, he's done, pretty good then.
So, so there's his credentials. Second place.
Shouldn't do this, actually. Someone blocked me from making fun of the name, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, good point. Yeah.
Just in case you're still listening, you're still a bell end. carry on.
Not Ayrton, the guy you blocked.
No, the guy.
Unless it was Ayrton.
That might be.
Oh, it'd be so fucking funny.
Change his name.
Hope it is.
And he's still got...
hope it is.
But it probably isn't, so well done, Ayrton Antonucci.
Second place was Simon Joy. And
Simon Joy.
And the winner this week is our favourite Norwegian.
Oh, Ollie Vestli. Yeah. He is now our favourite Norwegian after sending me a message saying, "Hi, it's your favourite Norwegian."
So, sorry, Morten Harkett, you've just been pushed down the running order.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Must Norwegian someone will take
him on. Yeah, someone will take him on.
So, that is the second race of the season. We need the third race.
Third race.
Yeah. Now,
to last until...
For 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
2 weeks, so that would be the 15th of January. Right. The cut-off date. Now...
Back to life, back to reality.
I decided this, didn't I, bro?
You did, and I've got it here.
I've changed my mind.
Oh, God.
Because you upset me. So...
What, by getting a time when you didn't?
Cut-off, yeah. But I
upset you
allowing
by...
me to make a mistake about the cut-off time.
Now, there have been some people... who have said, enough with the wet now.
Right. Well, this one's for them.
Where is it? If it's another wet race, cut all the USB plugs off his charger cables.
Yep, that was a message we got through.
Yeah, that would take you fucking months.
I'm prepared to put the effort in.
But like to the point where I genuinely think my USB cables are sentient and they like...
You see now, I can see both things here. We want people to work hard... for the prizes that are on offer, which we'll get to in a minute.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they've got to enjoy what they're doing, Lee.
I don't. So why should they?
Because we
hate that game.
We had less entries for the second race than we did for the first one.
Yeah, so...
Right, Mansell's Williams Spa Dry, you've had it now.
92 Williams, FW14 B?
Yep. In Spa, in the dry. I'll get that up on Facebook and on the website. Yeah. Cut-off is 7 o'clock UK time on Monday the 15th of January, day after my birthday.
Mm-hmm. Ah, so it'd be birthday pod for Paul then.
I may be hungover that day.
Are we going to have a separate pod for you to tell them, so you can tell them your age?
It's a state secret.
We haven't got a 2.5 hour pod, so if we read a number out that long, have we?
Of course, back then, we didn't use the calendar we use today.
Gregorians hadn't been invented.
It's easier to start with solstices.
I am not Mayan.
How many rotations are you this year?
So leave my age out of this. I'm bloody trying to.
Oh, and like the galaxy, we're both expanding. So,
make that all three of us.
Yeah, New Year's resolution. I would say get more exercise, but getting some would be a start. Yeah,
get some exercise. That would just that's my motto for the start of January.
I haven't lost any weight, but I'm stronger now I have a child.
Right.
Because it's really fucking weird. That, like, first, the two rules of baby, do not drop and do not shake. All the little motherfucker wants me to do is throw him in the air and shake him around. That's literally all he wants from me. They're the two things you're not supposed to do to a baby.
Yeah. You can, but shake responsibly.
Shake, yeah.
When the fun stops.
Yeah, don't like a little tickle. That's fine. You do it, but no, none of this. You know, this. What have you done? Grabbing him by the shoulders.
Yeah,
it's not gonna work.
And
yeah, wait till he comes in drunk for the first time.
And,
he's like
and
to do
never
that.
Shake till quiet.
No, that's gone too far.
You're listening to Parenting Advice with Lee. Just a short show this week. Just want to say thanks to everyone for listening all the way through 2017.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you for listening beyond.
And I was just going to say thank you in advance for listening during 2018.
Are we
going to
do prizes for Formula Lee quickly?
Oh, yes, the Formula Lee prizes. Yes, I'm waiting for Dave from Ultraflix to get back in touch.
Okie dokie.
Which, when he does, we'll be giving out the prizes, which are Amazon vouchers. £10 for first, £5 for second, £2 for third.
Yep.
All courtesy of our mate Dave at Ultraflix.
And you've also got the, as we already mentioned, the Nico Rosberg helmet. Points finish puts you in the draw.
Every time you get a points finish, you get an entry into the draw for the 2016 Nico Rosberg helmet from our friends at CM Helmets in the US.
Yes.
I can't remember whereabouts in the US they are, but they do deliver worldwide, as they proved by sending a helmet over to us.
The Damon Hill one is so fucking cool. Just give me one because I can't afford it.
If you were to stop buying Apple products...
But they're so shiny. So
yeah, if you've ever thought, I would quite like a Formula One driver's replica helmet, full-size, that you can actually put on your head, visit cmhelmets.com and have a look at their catalogue.
You will have to share that photo of you wearing the Rosberg one.
Which doesn't quite fit on my head.
I also now have a picture of my father wearing it.
I always thought your father had quite a large head before all the hair that he's got.
No, Dad's got quite a small head, but it's still too big for him. It's still small even.
So he's got a small head.
Yeah. In all fairness, so not very much head. They are display helmets. Mm. They're not really. I wouldn't. You know, if you're a carter, I wouldn't just go, like, stick them on your head and go out. Go out
if
carting.
You're lucky enough, you're probably, to be a dwarf.
You probably can. You can specify if you want a custom helmet from CM Helmets. But go and have a look at their catalogue of replica helmets.
Yeah. Yep. Their web address is on the Formula Lee page.
It is.
Alonso's indie one's sexy as fuck as well.
Yes.
So we'll be back lots more in 2018. You are not going to get rid of us.
Yeah.
Not that easily. Well, you could do by pressing unsubscribe, but don't do that.
If you need more of us, you can come and listen to my other podcast, Must See Audio. I'd very much appreciate that.
And we've got the Patreon show as well, where we just talk crap for about half an hour every week, not about Formula One.
Yeah, which we gave you a taster of over Christmas. If you're not a Patreon and want to become one.
Yes, there was a free show. And if you want to get in touch, you can drop us an email at threelegsfourwheels@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. You can tweet us at threelegsfourwheels or
at flood21.
I'm at a total shunt.
And at Pablo100. We've got the Facebook page as well, facebook.com/threelegsfourwheels. Mm-hmm. And unlike Lewis Hamilton, we have posts on our Instagram page.
Yes, we do.
Correct at time of going to press.
I'm also going to start doing a blog, which I'll try and keep up with. By the time this is up and posted, there should be my first thing up on my blog, which is video games, a year in review, where I'm going to review video games.
From this year?
Yeah.
A year's worth? Wow.
Just video games in general.
All it leaves me to say is have a great new year from the three of us here and from Dan and Sean as well, who couldn't make it today.
Mm-hmm. And we look forward to hearing from you in 2018 and having you hear us.
Yes. So as it's almost New Year's Eve, we're going to go and drink responsibly.
Ish.
Well, no, the off-licence from the corner's got a special offer on responsibly. It's buy one bottle, get seven free.
Oh, amazing.
Going directly to the pub.
Do not pass go, do not collect £200.
Yeah, directly. Stay there. Be there.
We'll see you soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Whatever.